How's everyone doing? Today I want to touch on a lesson entitled Return of the Nephilim. We're going to be coming out of Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. It reads, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." We're going to skip the next verse. "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore them children, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repenteth the Lord that he made man from the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for truth. We ask, Father God, that truth be revealed today, that you reveal all truth to us concerning this, and we give you all the praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Return of the Nephilim. So, I just want to give you a recap and some background information about what we just read, and we actually did Genesis 6, we went past verse 4, I believe we went to verse 5 and 6, but it states here that as humans began to populate the earth in the beginning, and more daughters were born in the families, basically what happened was there was a minority group of angels in heaven. And for you Bible scholars, this can be found more detailed information that fill in the gaps in Genesis 6 here. It can be found in the book of Enoch. For those of you that's willing to venture into some non-biblical sources, the book of Enoch. And for those of you that may not understand, you know, Enoch was quoted by New Testament writer. And so it was common reading in Jesus' day, but it was not included in the canon of scripture. So it is a non-biblical source, but I believe a lot that's in it. Anyway, if you read the book of Enoch, it kind of fill in the gaps, and it explained to you that these angels, this select group of angels, Enoch says that there was 200 of them. Now, in a lot of the horror movies that you may have seen, there is a common demonic name out there. It's called Azazel. I believe he was the main demon in the movie Fallen, which we're going to deal with in this segment, with Denzel Washington. And the spirit that was after Denzel, his name was Azazel. Well, Azazel was one of the head angels in heaven who had put together, he got 200 other angels, or 199 other angels, to do this perverted act, which was they wanted to have, they saw humans having families, human men taking wives, having children, raising families, genealogies. They wanted their own. And so they chose to break universal laws, to defy God. And the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 6, explains what happens. Jude says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So Jude is referring to what we just read in Genesis chapter 6. Okay. And so when it says that they kept not their first estate, is literally talking about their position in heaven. They dwelt in heaven. Okay. And because they wanted to do this, they wanted to take human wives and have children of their own. They had to first leave their position in heaven. And then Jude says they left their first estate and their own habitation. So it's not being redundant. The estate and habitation is not the same thing. If you look up habitation in the Greek, it's literally talking about their heavenly bodies. So they left their heavenly place or home. And in order to reproduce with humans, they had to derobe themselves of their celestial body and took on human bodies or more physical form in order for them to be able to procreate with human ladies. Okay. And so, but because their essence was still angelic, their essence was still heavenly, their essence was still celestial, it had no business procreating with humans or terrestrial. And so this very act was debased. It was forbidden. It was evil. At its heart, it was a perversion of what God intended. And so, but before I break that down some more, let's look at what it says. It says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So once they left heaven and they derobed themselves of their heavenly bodies, of course, when they took on a human form, they were probably some of the most beautiful, handsome men that earthly women had ever seen. And by them being angels, of course, their intelligence was through the roof. Their physical power was stronger and things of that nature. So they were a step above what human ladies was used to. And so they had their pick of the litter. But once they laid with them and it was time to give birth, what was produced is what the Bible calls giants. And in the Hebrew, the name is Nephilim. Now, giant, of course, they were grand or larger in size because their fathers, the bloodline came from, you know, outer space, basically. Their bloodline was of celestial gene pool. But giant is more of a watered down generic term for who they really were. Nephilim literally means fallen ones, debased ones, evil ones. Okay. And so we're going to get into that in a second. But let's look at the fact that it says the sons of God took daughters of men. Now, this has been a big controversy, but to me, it's pretty simple. If you love the word and you believe in the Bible, interpreting the Bible, there's never a big controversy about what the Bible is trying to say. But if you want to listen to so-called scholars and people who think they're in the know, but really not using scripture to interpret scripture, you could be easily deceived. So it literally says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now, if you research sons of God, there was only one son of God in the Old Testament, as far as human, and that was Adam. If you read the first chapter of Luke, when it's given the genealogy, I believe, of either Joseph or Mary, it takes it all the way back to Adam. And it says he was a son of God. But Adam fell. So when Adam fell, one of the many things that happened with the fall was he lost the image and nature of God that he was created in. And this is why Genesis chapter 5 says that Adam began to have children after his image and his own likeness. See, he was made and created in the image and likeness of God, but because he fell, now he was reproducing a fallen, sinful image. It was no longer the image of God that was being reproduced. So that's right there in black and white. But he was the only human that was called a son of God in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, even those who were in covenant with God were only called sons of men. Read any of the prophetic books. When God was speaking to his anointed prophets, he would begin the declaration by saying, "Son of man, take a lamentation or two, or declare this about this person." So humans after the fall who were in covenant with God were only called sons of men, because men had to be redeemed before they were called sons of God again. So after the fall, after Adam's fall, the only persons called sons of God in the Old Testament were angels. You can research it yourself. Not devils, not Satan and his army. Satan is not a son of God. Demons and devils are not sons of God. That would be ludicrous. Read Job chapter 1. It gives us the backdrop. It says, "And the sons of God assembled themselves before God in heaven, and Satan also." If he was a son of God or his angels were sons of God, it would not have made a difference there. Okay? But that's for you to look into. So, this was not talking about humans, because no human was called a son of God in the Old Testament. Okay? So, no human was called a son of God until Jesus came. The only begotten came to redeem us. And on the cross, when he paid the price for us to be redeemed, those that believe in him can now be called sons of God. Let's look at what the scripture says. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So, no human was called a son of God in the Old Testament. So, this could not have been talking about man, a particular group of men or humans, flesh and bone, that took wives of ladies and produce these giants or Nephilim. This was a perversion of the laws of the universe, because sons of God, only angels, those holy angels who abode in heaven. There was a select group that Enoch breaks down that said, "We want our own children. We want to raise our own family. We want what the humans have." And they broke God's universal laws, left heaven, stripped themselves of their celestial body, and they committed this great sin. Now, Enoch also reveals some hidden information that's not in the text. He explains how that when these angels who broke universal law and committed this perversion, so their seed, their sons and daughters, were a perversion of nature, celestial mixing with terrestrial, heavenly mixing with human. Okay. And so it produced, because this was not a part of God's will, therefore it was evil. It was unnatural. it produced a race of people, if we want to call it people, called giants or Nephilim or fallen ones. Now, Enoch goes on to explain that these angels began to teach their evil sons and giants how to pervert all of creation. They began to teach them forbidden things that mankind was never supposed to be exposed to. Perverted laws of the universe, like witchcraft, wizardry, warlock, dark arts, the occult, black magic, white magic, soothsaying, psychics, palm reading, spells, incantation, curses and hexes, necromancing, divination, sorcery, astrology, spirit possession, charming, enchantments, even this, medicine. We'll talk about that in another segment. This is why all day long on your television, you're watching class action suits about medicine. See, that's divination, about the creation and mixing of chemicals and different things under the disguise of supposedly healing you. But how is it healing you? And every 30 minutes we see in a class action suit on TV about people dying from cancer and being greatly diseased by this stuff, because medicine was a part of what these angels taught their giant sons. And so their purpose was to pervert all creation and ultimately contaminate the gene pool of man, the natural bloodline. Even though it was fallen, it was still human bloodline, or a human bloodline. So ultimately, they wanted to assist in the prophecy of Genesis chapter 3, after the fall, when God told the serpent that the seed of the woman would bruise his head. And so that means that the woman who is the womb man, her womb is the only legal doorway and access into the earth. And so, as I said in other messages, the enemy needed the womb of woman as much as God did. And so these angels took full advantage of the power of the womb of the woman in order to produce their own fallen seed. Now, what these angels did when they took wives of humans and produced the Nephilim or fallen ones, this was beyond regular sin, like murder, lust, theft, anger, jealousy, malice, covetousness, or things of that nature. You know, people say sin is sin. Well, that's not true. And if you can read my book, Apollyon, it's available on Amazon, and it will go into cover some of this stuff and go into other details about the difference of natural sin and unnatural sin. And so even though God does not permit and want the things that I just listed to be committed, it is still natural for fallen humans to commit those sins. Let me give you an example. It's sin, but it's natural for fallen man for a man to be attracted to a woman. It's not sin to be attracted, but it's natural for them to have that attraction. But sex before marriage, or sex outside of your marriage covenant, that's still sin. So there's a difference between natural and unnatural, but it's unnatural to want the same sex. Okay. So there's a difference there. And so because there's a difference there, the penalty is different, because the consequences of what it does to mankind is totally different. So what I break down in Apollyon is that anytime, if you do the research, anytime in the Old Testament, what God commanded his king or whoever was in leadership in the armies to totally obliterate an entire race or tribe, and including all the cattle or beasts that they own, it was for a reason. It was because certain perversions was being committed in that particular tribe, and it was contaminating the geno pool of man. It was contaminating, even though it was fallen, it was contaminating the natural bloodline of man. Okay. So that is the only time, if you do your research, you will find a direct correlation that there was a perversion going on that would directly contaminate the geno pool of man within that tribe. That is the only time he commanded annihilation of a particular race of people or tribe. And this is found even in Sodom and Gomorrah, because that's directly connected to the natural process of reproduction and the continuation of the seed of man. So because these angels took human ladies and produce giants or Nephilim, so their sons were the product of the perversion of natural laws. And so after these giants were here, who were the crossbreeding or perversion of natural laws, the angels continued to teach them unnatural things. And this is where this is when they began to teach their sons how to pervert all living things in creation. So they were crossbreeding reptiles, beasts, insects, creatures in the oceans, and humans. As crazy as that sounds, this is true. This is where the legends of werewolves, vampires, minotaurs, mermaids, and things of that nature, these things were true. And as a footnote, Disney has sensationalized and repackaged these demonic, perverted, occultic practices, repackaged it through animation, and gives it to your children all the time. So those of you that spend your hard-earned money and you go to the Magic Kingdom, what is your Christian tale doing in the Magic Kingdom? We're going to deal with that in a minute. So, and if you really understood about things like the Little Mermaid and you know, trees talking and stuff of that nature, it is at the root of everything that Disney produces. And they are one of the biggest companies in the world because of stupid, ignorant, biblically illiterate Christians. So anyway, so the angelic fathers began to teach their giant fallen ones, Nephilim sons, how to defy the laws of nature and crossbreed everything in nature. And of course, this was not natural. It was not supposed to happen. This is why the occult had to be introduced. They had to begin to get into the dark arts. And to give you a better understanding of that, if you watch Star Trek at all, not Star Trek, Star Wars, you know, they say the force shall be with you, and the force, it's supposed to be, you know, the good part of the power that's out there. But like Darth Vader and other villains in that series, they were operating from the dark side. Okay, so they was operating from power, but from the dark side. And so these giants was doing the same thing, if you would. They began to operate from the dark side, forbidden laws, the perversion of natural laws. And so they were able to successfully crossbreed everything in creation. And so a lot of these legends that is still propagated through a lot of the movies and series that we see today, like Underworld, The Immortals, and other programs that's out and real popular. This stuff was real. Now, I want you to see something. In Genesis chapter 6, immediately after mentioning about these angels taking human wives and producing a perversion, a crossbreed called giants, the very next verse says something important. And God saw the wickedness of man was great and in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The very next verse, after mentioning what happened with these angels and humans, says something we have never read again in scripture, that the wickedness of man was great and every imagination, thoughts of his heart was evil continually. So there is a direct correlation of the presence of this perversion of creation, this crossbreeding of angels and humans producing Nephilim, and the deterioration morally in the earth. That's important because we're going to break it down for today. And we're going to see the same thing, because did not Jesus say, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the Son of Man. So it's important for us to know that when the Nephilim was here, when sons of God crossbred with humans or flesh, and what they produced, the evil seed that they produce, is a direct correlation of every thought and imagination of man's heart being evil continually, to the point where God said, I need to kill it all. See, this is powerful because this was not regular sin. See, God had already, before the world was formed, the Bible said the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. God had already planned salvation or redemption before he even told start, before he created anything. Okay. So sin was not an issue to God. Jesus dealt with sin at the cross. What was going on in Genesis chapter 6 was something a bit different. See, because it was the violation of all natural laws. It was the violation of all spiritual and universal laws. To the point where God says, it literally says that he repented for making man. He wouldn't do this because of sin. He would do this because of what was happening that was never supposed to happen. This was not natural laws, natural things, you know, sins that man would commit. Okay. this was on another scale. So we have to understand that what would cause God to say, I am going to kill them all. And we don't see all of it in the Genesis text. And so Enoch gives us a great backdrop of what was really going on, because it'd be easy for us to say, oh, okay, you know, well, you know, they was messing up and God said, let me just start over with Noah and his family. No. It's a little more heavier than that. Again, if you read Apollyon, I show you that anytime he was ready to totally annihilate a people like he did in the flood, there was perversion of natural laws and a contamination of the human genome pool and bloodline of man going on. Okay. Now let's look at something. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15 reads, that which has already been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. Okay. Basically saying there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that will be has already been. That's what that scripture is saying. Now, in other words, history repeats itself. As it may be new to our generation, but it's not new in the earth. Okay. Now, so if this happened before the flood and caused divine judgment to come, the end of the world as it was then, and only Noah and his family was saved, based on the scripture, it's going to happen again, because everything that has been has already been. And Jesus said himself, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to happen again. So I call this the return of the Nephilim. And, you know, others have used that title. And if you look it up, there's a lot of malarkey out there, a lot of stupid stuff that is based on fiction. It's not based on truth. It's based on fear mongering. And nothing that can be founded biblically. But I'm doing my best to show you, based on the word of God, what's going on. And so we're getting ready to apply it for today. Now, we know that's accurate history based on Genesis chapter 6. And some of the backdrop is filled by our brother Enoch. But let's bring it for today. All right. In order to do this, of course, we have allowed the Bible to interpret the Bible. So we know that the sons of God were the ones who took human wives in Genesis chapter 6, and they produced a debased race of giants in the Hebrew called Nephilim, or fallen ones. Now, how does that apply today? Well, as we all already stated in John chapter 1, verse 12 and Romans 8, verse 14, that the only way today to be called a son of God is to give your heart to Christ. OK, but as many as received him, to them gave him power to become sons of God. OK, so today you cannot be a son of God unless you repent of your sins and go through the blood of Jesus. OK. So we have sons of God today. Now, let me preface this by saying babes in Christ are not sons. Sons, because Romans says, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So it's not just a blanket statement. In order to get access to become a son, you have to first be born again. But a true son, or what we call sonship, is a mature believer who knows who he is in Christ, who Christ is in him, and have developed an authentic anointing and walking in that authority. Okay. So a babe in Christ is not a son, because a babe is not led by the Spirit of God. They learned that. That takes years to know God's voice, and takes years to develop the disciplines that is necessary to actually walk in the authority of as a son of God. Okay. So with that being said, sons are not immature believers. Sons know who they are. Sons have consecrated themselves. Sons have paid the price to walk with God. Sons know their gift, know their calling, and have an authentic anointing. Those are sons of God. Okay. They know how to be led by the Spirit of God. But just like the sons of God in the Old Testament, the angels in the Old Testament, now angel simply means messenger. Okay. If you read the book of Revelation, the seven letters that were sent to the seven churches were sent to the angel of that church. Read it for yourself. Because angel means messenger. Whatever language you look it up in, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, angel means messenger. And the messenger over any church is the pastor. So when you read the book of Revelation and about the seven letters that were sent to the seven churches, it was sent to the angel of that church and was the actual pastor of that church. So the angel, if you are in a church, your angel that God have given you is your pastor. He's your messenger. Okay. So it was the angels, the sons of God, who left their heavenly estate, derobed themselves of their celestial glory to lay with flesh in order to produce giants. What am I trying to say? There is a generation today of sons of God. Those who have given them heart, their hearts to Christ, gone through the blood of Jesus, developed the disciplines, have grown in the things of God, consecrated themselves, and have matured and have an authentic anointing. Okay, that's the only way to be a son today. There are sons today, just like the angels in the Old Testament, just like the sons of God in the Old Testament, that say, you know what? It's nice walking with God. See, it's nice eating manna, bread from heaven. It's nice having authority. It's nice walking in his presence and in his glory. It's nice having authority. It's nice having power to tread on scorpions and snakes and all the works of the enemy. All this stuff is nice. But something happened where they said, you know what? I want to go back to flesh. See, and Jesus talks about this when he said those that have tasted the heavenly calling and then want to go back. It's like a dog returning to his vomit. This is what happens here. And so any man or woman who have graduated up to the position and authority as a son of God in the church and say, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do what they did in the Old Testament and lay with flesh again, not just physically doing it, but wanting to go back to carnal things, the things that they supposedly have been disciplined from, the things supposedly that they supposedly had graduated from. You say, you know what? I want to go back and I want to lay with that some more. Well, now we're getting ready to break this down. Because in the Old Testament, when the sons of God took daughters of men, today that would be equal to a true son that's walking in his God-given call and authority, but no longer want to represent the kingdom of God. Now he or she wants a kingdom of self. They no longer desire to promote the brand, God's brand of the kingdom of heaven, but now they want their own brand. Now they want their own notoriety, their own name, their own success, and their own church. When this happens, when a present day son of God chooses to go back to carnality and reproduce with it, lay with it, it produces giants. The same way it did in the Old Testament, it produces Nephilim. Now we're getting ready to go there because, see, everything that glitters is not gold. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. Sometimes it's astroturf. And we see this in full color today. we see the repeat of sons of God taking daughters of men, producing fallen ones, giants, or Nephilims. I'm here to tell you, the Nephilims have returned. And a lot of people under the sound of my voice, you go to his or her church. You give faithfully to his or her ministry. Oh, Lord. See, giants. Let me put it this way. Mega. See, everything that's large, grand, or many numbered does not mean it came from God. There's a reason why Jesus said, what, two or three I gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. Why didn't he say 2,000 or 3,000? Come on. Why didn't he say that? Because he already knew what generation we'll be in and the deception we'll be under. They produce giants. And we're seeing so many giant ministries today. And a lot of them are pastored by the Nephilim, or the sons of God have given birth to these giant ministries, and you are going to a fallen one Nephilim giant ministry. Now, it doesn't mean every big ministry is, but I can tell you many of them are. And I can tell you this, the word of God is not being taught there. See, sound doctrine is not being taught there. I can tell you this, what's being taught there. The same thing that was being taught. See, history repeats itself because we're not paying attention. The same thing that the sons of God taught their giant sons, which was magic, sorcery, the occult, idolatry, witches and wizardry, is today. I can prove it to you. They taught their sons giants in the Old Testament. And if you go on somewhere that's talking about naming and claiming, you're not in God's kingdom. You're in the magic kingdom. Yeah. Blab it and grab it. You're not in God's kingdom. You're in the magic kingdom. Money come to me. You're not in God's kingdom. You're in the magic kingdom. If it's all about materialism, if it's all about earthly possessions, if it's all about how many zeros behind your check, if it's all about the mighty dollar, if it's all about temporal things obtained in this life, you are in the magic kingdom. You are not in God's kingdom. And I can promise you, your pastor is a son of God who have chosen to go back to and lay with flesh, and it has produced a giant ministry, and the ministry don't have many numbers there because of the anointing and because of the presence of God. It's a giant ministry because it's perverted. The same way it was perverted in the Old Testament, it's perverted today. And there's so many ignorant, biblically illiterate, stupid, naive, deceived, so-called Christians filling up their stadiums. Oh, yeah, it's a big ministry. It's a mega ministry. It's a giant ministry. Giant album, book, and product sales. But it's full of mega mess, mega sin, mega perversion. Giant witchcraft, giant sorcery, giant idolatry, giant perversion. Giant hoeing, giant homosexuality, giant magic, giant sorcery. I was just, somebody was telling me a couple weeks ago how an up and coming, very well known prophet that had hit the charismatic circuit real big. I think it's Prophet Karn. I'm not for sure. But everybody was booking his brother. I think I saw a clip of him at Rod Parsley's before, and I heard some stuff he say, and I was like, I turned it off. I'm like, yeah, that's off, you know, but I just kept that to myself. But I guess it was just revealed that when he would go to a meeting and would prophesy to the leaders, the word that he was giving the leaders, he first got from a psychic. He was calling a popular psychic, and the devil was telling him what to say. This brother was received in many big churches as a prophet. He had preached in all these places. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. If it ain't about the word, but it's about your bank account and how big your paycheck is and how big your houses and your car is and your brand. If it's just about how big that stuff is, but you don't even realize that everything else is getting bigger, but your relationship with God is getting smaller. The presence and anointing of God in your life is smaller. The knowledge of God is deficient. Your time spent with God, your prayer and consecration and dedication to God has lessened and weakened. And hear me, the same way I showed you right after it mentioned the sons of God taking the daughters of men and producing giants, the very next verse says that every imagination of the thoughts of men was evil continually. See, it did not increase the knowledge and power of God in the earth. It lessened it to the point where God said, I need to destroy it all. And this is what is going to bring us into the second coming of Christ, because there's going to be giant ministries everywhere. There's going to be sons of God who've gone back to flesh and produce all this mega stuff when Jesus cracked the sky. Because he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the Son of Man. They were marrying and giving in marriage. See? Just living a giant, beautiful life, not even realizing the groom have shown up. So, hear me. The American church is the perversion of the original. See, mega usually equates mega mess. Mega sin, mega witches, mega ignorance. You may have giant offerings, but the church is full of spiritual midgets. Giant leadership names, but anemic anointing. They have left their first estate in God's presence only for temporary notoriety among men, and they have allowed the devil to use them to crossbreed in the church. Giant names, but they are really Nephilim. Fallen ones, hear me. Fallen ones, watch them fall. Now, as I end, I want to address something that's connected to this. Someone asked me, why are so many people not going to church? You know, like you used to. Because a lot of people sit at home, and it's not just because, you know, you can watch a favorite preacher on TV or connect with them through live streaming or buy their material. Part of that is true. Part of that has to deal with the laziness of the so-called American believer. But I think that's a small percentage. I believe it's connected to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Let's read it. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world pass away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. So in order to answer the question, why do so many people or have so many people stop going to church? I believe they stop going to church because they are trying to obey 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17. The Bible tells us not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And it gives you a category of three things: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. I believe there's a direct correlation to many people no longer, many people that love God, many people who are born again, many people that know the word, many of them, at least for now, are not going to church because they see so much of the world in the church in order to fulfill 1 John 2 of not loving the world. They had to come out of the world, which is in the church now. Just like God told Abraham, leave your father's house, your kindred, and your country, follow me. A lot of people have left the church because in order to fulfill that commandment, that required leaving the place that should be called the house of God. Remember when Jesus beat the money changers out the temple? That's what's going on today. And remember in the end, he said, God's house shall be called a house of prayer. It's sad commentary that when your church got everything under the sun going on, except being a house of prayer. See, it's a house of immorality. It's a house of greed. It's a house of homosexuality. It's a house of whoredom. It's a house of materialism. It's a house full of schemes and lies and every evil thing going on. It's a house of witches and warlocks and sorcery. It's a house of false prophecy. It's a house full of gifts, but no character. See? So for some of us, in order to stay tainted from the world, we had to leave the church. It's the truth anyhow. There's so much world and lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and pride of life in the church. You have to leave it in order to leave the world. This is sad commentary. The term church, I believe in the Greek, is ekklesia, which means called out ones. And let me tell you something. For those of you that may be saying, what in the world are you talking about? If you are called out one, God always has a church within a church. He always has a people within a people. Anytime the group gets contaminated, God has to take out a remnant before it's contaminated too. And there is a remnant who cannot deal with the contamination of the yeast that have infiltrated the body. And that's what's going on today. So the reason why so many people don't go to church don't mean they don't love God. Don't mean, you know, that they just rebellious. Don't mean that you can't judge them. Maybe it's because every time they go to church, they see so much of the world is grieving the hell out of them. Maybe they tired of the mess and the scandal and the treachery and the perversion and the gossip and the rumors. Maybe they tired of the world that has filled the church. And I'm going to tell you why it has filled the church. Because sons of God have gone back to land with flesh, and it has produced giants. Just because it's big doesn't mean it's God. Jesus said it very simply, you shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. Stop looking at how people dressed, what they riding in, and talking slick. Learn the word of God for yourself. Judge every tree by its fruit. I'm out.